the past year has taught us that like nothing is guaranteed and things always change. And so, especially with licensing, I mean, we saw a decrease in sales because stores were closed. So products sales are down.
Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, overcoming the inner critic, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 221 of the Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Scotty Russell, and my mission is to put you in a position to take your creative pursuits full-time one day. At the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout-out on a future episode, because that'd be dope. Today's overview. If you want to build a successful long-term creative business, you have to get good at the business part. Sadly, creating and posting pretty pictures alone rarely, if at all, cuts it these days. Sometimes you gotta put on your business hat and flip the marketing switch on to take your creative pursuits to a profitable next level. Today's guests are Katie Johnson and Alana Griffo, who make moves under the business Lumiere. These two self-employed badass ladies spearhead this to help artists take the fear out of business. They've created a one-stop shop filled with helpful tools, courses, resources, and community to put you in a position to crush your creative biz. They still grind on the side of doing their thing full-time with freelance, licensing on their own, also while selling their own product lines and resources that they put into this world to bring in that appealing passive income. In today's episode, we talk shop on the basics of licensing, aka renting your work out, the art of repurposing your artwork, scaling your business with context, intent, and strategy, tips for non-gross cold outreach. I really like that part. That part was fun. And getting good at selling, plus so much more. This thing is entertaining. I love the energy that these two ladies bring to the table with this one. So if you're looking for ways to be more profitable with your creative craft, you're going to enjoy this one just as much as I did, for sure. But before we get started, could you do me a favor, por favor? It'd mean the world to me if you took a screenshot or a video of you working to this in the background while tagging all of us, and maybe just tag Lumiere on Instagram story so we can connect and I can reshare the love back, and you could tag me at Perspective Podcast so I see it. Or simply share this with your family, your friends, or your following who you know will find this information helpful, because this thing is loaded like a baked potato. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, we have Katie and Alana of Lumiere on the show today. Welcome, ladies. It's nice to finally get a chance to connect with you and e-meet you in person. So how are you doing today?
Oh, great, Scotty. It's so good. It's so good to be here.
We're so excited to be here.
We had an interesting like pregame talk right here, but that's the beauty of like being pregame. So nobody sees, nobody knows. For those who may not know about y'all, can you give us both like a Wikipedia page summary about yourself? We'll talk about the rise of where Lumiere come into play, how you were able to scale this into your own full-time business. And then let's just like nerd out on art licensing and whatever else happens to flow within the convo.
Well, I'm very excited to nerd out. But I think the funniest thing up until now, Katie and I have never met in person. We've been in business for about 2 years. That's coming and it's going to be epic.
It could be the greatest catfish story of all time.
So we actually both are lettering artists that started getting into art licensing. And I was just, you know, gently stalking Katie online. She posted about how she was going to do a class on art licensing. And I had done a couple of Skillshare classes, and that was the next one I was going to tackle. So I wrote her and I was like, that's so cool. I can't wait to take yours. I'm also doing one. Like, I'm sure we both have a ton to offer. And Katie was like, let's do it together. And I was like, oh, dang. Let's do it together. So we did a course together and then had so much fun and decided to really dive in and offer more value. We feel like we learned a lot through our journeys and we should share it because it was hard for us. And so why not make it a little bit easier for someone else?
Yeah. So Lumiere is really us teaming up to help take the fear out of business for artists, because when we went out on our own to become full-time artists, it was hella intimidating. There was very little information out there to help us. We had no business knowledge or training from art school or anything like that. So we just want to take away the barriers for other people as much as possible, because we really believe that everybody deserves to love their job and love what they spend their life, the majority of their life doing. So that's really the point of Lumiere. It's a resource for artists who mean business.
So this is the kind of shit that I wish I had when I got started. I would say 2014, 2015, when I thought like freelance was going to be my path before everything else, you know, kind of happened, you know, in coaching and podcasting and speaking. But it was intimidating as hell. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't learn any of it in school. So where did the idea come from, or where were you just like, you know what, I fed up with living in fear, racing to the bottom of poorly charging out of scarcity mindset and desperation to land a job? You know, what was like the switch that flipped, or the fed up moment that you're like, you know what, I'm going to start making some cheddar with what I'm doing and I'm going to learn?
I feel like I have a good one. Mine's like a little dramatic.
Yeah, let's get dramatic.
So, I worked as an art director, and I think my parents are both entrepreneurs. So I think I had it in me all along, but I never, like, because it was around me, I never was like, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I just always knew that was an option and it never scared me. And then I left my full-time job to pursue freelance. And then I think a couple years in, I had a client who was like, hey, give me all my money back or I'm going to sue you. And I was like, no, excuse me. No, thank you. And I asked other friends in the industry, like, has this ever happened? And they were like, yeah, I just give all the money back because they're crazy. And I was like, no, you gave all the money back for the month or 6 months or whatever you were doing. You gave that all of it back. And they were like, yep, not worth it. And I was like, I think it's worth it to fight. So I went to small claims court and I was like, screw this. I need to talk about this more openly. And I need to share my experience. And I had been sort of working on a book at the same time. And it was all about how to like get started with working for yourself. And that kind of just like, kind of what's the accumulated when you like.
Snowballed.
I'm doing it with my hands.
I'm here for you.
And you've never met before. That's crazy. You finish each other's sentences.
We're telepathic.
Sandwiches.
What is that, Frozen?
I think it's just a phrase. I don't know. I've heard it here. I've heard it there.
I've heard it on Frozen, but what am I? I just watch cartoons with my kids.
It reveals a lot about you.
So I think when I wrote that book, I realized, and people started like resonating with it, I was like, oh, wow, I should talk about this more. And so if I can just make it a little bit easier, like, wouldn't that be a better path to take if I can learn from someone else's mistakes, or if I can help someone from my mistakes? Wouldn't that be better than like just falling down all the time and being all alone? So when Katie and I like talked and we had similar paths, I was like, this just feels right. Like it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, our paths we discovered were like eerily similar. Like we really have a very similar backstory. So that's funny, especially since, you know, we haven't met in person, just to have so much in common with somebody else. But then just talking to people in the lettering and the art community in general, a lot of people feel the same way. A lot of people have those fears around business. A lot of people have like a similar path of like considering going out on their own or like having that as an ultimate goal, but being like terrified of all the stuff that's in between where they are now and where that ultimate goal is. It just feels like impossible at some point, and we want to help people not feel like it's so daunting and scary. And
I think with like girl boss culture too, now people are like, they have this assumption that they're going to do it. It's like almost the exact opposite. So they're terrified, but then they see all these other people doing it and they're like, oh, it should be easy and everyone can do it. And I think we really try and talk about like, this is true. This is the hard stuff. This is the easy stuff. This is the stuff you got to get over. These are the barriers. And like you decide if it's right for you. We don't know if working full-time for yourself is right for you. Maybe part-time is great. Maybe just doing it for fun is even better, like a passion project.
I would agree. I don't think everyone's cut out for it.
Right.
There's a lot. It's over-glorified. Doing your thing full-time is fucking over-glorified.
Totally.
For sure. It's way harder than people think.
Our job is just to help like lay things out for people and then let them decide what's right for themselves. But we're just trying to be as honest and transparent as possible. And if they do want to work full time, we'll help you, you know, do that. And if you want to, you know, whatever it is that is your dream and your vision for your career, I think it's important to embrace that, even if it's different from other people or whatever you see out there on Instagram. And we just want to help people love their whatever they're doing.
Who would you say is like your target person, your perfect person for like the kind of content and resources that you create? Is it lettering artists, illustrators, designers? You know, is it a whole batch of basically anybody seeking creative business with their work?
Yeah, we started out with kind of targeting letterers just because that's the language we kind of speak. But then just by going, we realized that we were attracting people in illustration and design and surface pattern design. And so now it's kind of a mishmash of folks, which is awesome too. And we're, you know, trying to start talking with more fine artists, and we're having more fine artists like weigh in on licensing and help us, you know, understand any kind of areas that we might be missing just because we do have a focus on lettering. And so it's really broadening our kind of spectrum of art and what we know.
And both of us went to school, traditional school for graphic design, worked in agencies. And so we came from that and completely shifted into more like illustration and lettering. And then we both have these other projects that we do that are not outside, but like I have books and Katie has this other project, the Monster Project, that's like very outside of that box. And so we really talk a lot about, we try and use those assets that we've gotten from these different things that we've done to connect with other people, even if they're not necessarily in the exact same industry as us.
For sure. And I think that's the listeners today, I was telling you in the pregame, like we have a good mix of lettering artists, all types of creatives, designers, illustrators, and people just wanting to get into the game and do it the right way versus just guessing and living in fear and thinking, I'm not capable of doing this, not a seat for me at the table. So if we could, can we dive into like just the basics of licensing 101? You know, we can progress, we can get deeper. And if people like this, let us know. I'll give you a call to action to share the show, but like, let us know if you want to go deeper and bring them back on to nerd out and go fuller on a topic. But let's talk about the basics.
I think Katie's got the best analogy for this one.
Oh, I do? Are you talking about the menu thing or?
Yeah, I just think the way Katie describes it has really helped me understand it too, because coming from a world where we weren't licensing, I at first really had a hard time grasping how I could use it in my portfolio and to my advantage. But it's basically renting your artwork. So letting someone use it for a particular purpose. But we specifically talk a lot about art licensing for products.
Yeah. So when we talk about that, a lot of people, like this is an industry that a lot of artists don't even know exists at this point. So we're trying to change that because it's kind of like this weird secret society that's kind of run in this old school way. But when we say art licensing for products, we're talking about like getting your art onto gift bags and greeting cards and bedding and tableware. And, you know, there's this like home goods, there's this whole host of things that you can get your art on. If you go, we always tell people to go into a big box store or like browse online and just look around with the idea in mind that this exists and start looking at products, and you'll be like, oh crap, there is so much stuff out there that I could potentially license my art for. And things start to like materialize. You're like, oh, I was so like blind to the fact that this existed at all. But if there's a product and there's art on it, there's an artist that was responsible for that. So sometimes they'll have like internal teams at these places, but other times, and a lot of times they'll have independent artists who create the art and license it for that. So that's what we teach about, and that's what we do. One of our biggest income streams, both of us separately do licensing, and it's been really, really awesome.
Do you think a question could be like adult question, something like I ask my students when I get them like, yo, stop living just within a 2D static JPEG on Instagram. Like where I ask them a question, like, where do you think it'd be dope to see your work exist? I feel like that kind of fits within your topic of like, hey, go into one of these stores. Where could you get your work licensed and existing on for someone?
That's one of the things that we kind of stress is like, we can't just tell you look up these companies, because you got to figure out where would your work shine. And then you have to dive deep into that specific industry or category. Like if you are a fabric designer, like greeting cards are probably not the right fit for you. So you don't want to reach out to greeting card companies. So you really have to understand your work before you understand who your client is. Like, what's great about your work? Why do people want it? Where would it do well? And then you can look at where should it go and who should I be connecting with?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people start out with like product lines that they sell themselves. Both Alana and I did. And we both still have those product lines in some form.
Meaning like you sell your own merch?
Yeah. Sell like greeting cards and art prints and things like that. So both Alana and I started that way. And a lot of our students start that way. And we really do recommend that as a great thing to do, to kind of like dip your toe into designing for a product without putting a lot on the line. Also, like, we believe in what we call double dipping, which is trying to get the most possible return out of the least possible work. So if I make one piece of art, I don't just, like you said, want it to live on Instagram as a flat JPEG. I want to think about how can I utilize this in as many ways as possible. So I'm going to put this in my freelance portfolio. I'm going to put this in my product shop. I'm going to reach out to a buyer for art licensing and say, hey, I have this new birthday card. So I'm going to try and think, how can I stretch this as far as possible? And that's what's really cool about licensing too, is you can stretch it even further within licensing itself, because you can license the same piece to multiple people at the same time. So I can have a piece of art that I sell to a greeting card, and then I also sell it for a gift bag, and then somebody buys it for plates and party wear. So you can have those deals going on at the same time and be getting royalties from three different places at once, which is really awesome.
Just getting that mailbox money. Woo!
Yes, that is the magic.
This is sort of that analogy I was saying, because the art licensing portfolio looks really different because it's pre-existing artwork. And so it's like a menu where you can go in and people can just order off the menu. And the coolest thing is that two people at two different tables can order the same thing. Like Katie was saying, a greeting card buyer could purchase the thing off the menu, and then someone in a different industry, like a t-shirt apparel company, could purchase that same design for their t-shirt line. And so you can seriously like serve it to multiple people at different tables, which is like the best kind of double dipping. And it's not the kind that's disgusting, you know, like dipping your chip twice during a pandemic. Yeah.
Germs. My germs. Let me rewind it real quick. And let me ask you both like a personal question. When did you understand like, hey, this is my style of work, and I feel like it could exist and be super dope within this type of setting? What you, where you said, like, when did you know, like, hey, I think I found my style and this is where I think you could shine. When did you know that, or how did you find that out? Because I think a lot of people are like, well, shit, I don't even know where my work would look good at right now. I'm just trying to find my groove.
I don't know if there was like a specific moment. It was kind of a slow burn, but we both made a shit ton of work. We made like so much work that people ask us all the time, how do you find your style? And our answer is it just intrinsically exists in you. And it's a, you know, a culmination of things that you love and things that you've seen. And it's really, really important to be observant and to go out and look at other people's work and find things that you love, so that you start to internalize these and churn it. And it all kind of comes together with who you are as a person and comes out of you in a way that isn't even necessarily like intentional. I think when people try to do a style, like they try to, you know, actively think I'm creating my own personal style, it might be a little bit, yeah, it might be forced and might not actually be, you know, where you end up going. But if you give yourself a prompt, like a creative brief, and then you answer that brief with a sketch or whatever it is, you're just naturally going to do that in a way that's different from anybody else. So iterate and iterate and iterate, and then look at the patterns that come out from what you've made, and you'll start to see, oh, this is my style materializing literally in front of me.
Right. And I think, okay, so one of the things is to be inspired, allow yourself to be inspired by multiple different people, because you're going to take something from this person, something from this person, something from here. The book, Show Your Work, Share Your Work.
Austin Kleon, Share Your Work.
That's the one. Yep. Awesome. And then I was going to say the other thing that's so great about having, like, working with Katie is that she said that, like, while she was speaking, I was like, yes, that's so good. That's so true. But also on the other hand, like, it is normal to feel like, what's my voice and do I have a style and how would other people talk about this? Because I've come to Katie before and said, how would you describe my style? Like, have I found it? I could describe hers really easily, but we're always so harsh on ourselves, but also like we're always evolving. So my work from 2 years ago doesn't look the same as my work from today, but I could look at it and say, oh, but I guess I did really like things that are, you know, X, Y, and Z, and those are still consistent today. I've just gotten better or stronger or different. And so it's less about being like, oh, she's the girl that only does this or the artist that only does this, but it's like, oh, their voice is strong or colorful or happy, or like these things that don't define you to one box. They're things that could apply to so many different things, even different materials.
So like the next step from there, kind of when you're finding your groove, like maybe I can start mocking my stuff up or creating my own personal products just to find where I want my art to exist. And then you can start building your catalog of and outreaching and, you know, figuring out where these people live, how you can get in front of them. Is that like the steps you both took?
Yeah.
I'm trying to like paint that picture of like finding your style, mocking it up and presenting it on your own posters, your prints, your whatever, your own personal merch, and then taking it to the next step. People are missing the next step from there.
Yeah, I think one thing before you get to that next step is to remember context. Like we see this a lot where people are just like making work and they're usually making it for Instagram, but then they've forgotten that there's no context. So if you want to be a greeting card designer, sharing that on Instagram is not viral content. So if you're trying to grow on Instagram by sharing happy birthday cards, like it's just not the same. It's great. You should share that work, but like you shouldn't expect that it's going to go viral.
Gotta hope there's like a happy birthday card featuring account or something out there.
Right. And you should just share it because you want to share it and like change your expectations. But I think that's the thing is like people forget the context. Like, am I great at lettering? If so, birthday cards would be a great fit. Or do I hate, am I like a Scrooge and I don't want to do holiday designs? Like, that's fine. You have to figure it out and you only figure that out by creating. But I think there's never a time that's too early to start putting it out there because you're inviting people to watch you grow. So post it now. And then in 2 months, when someone has seen how much better you've gotten, maybe that's when they want to reach out and start working with you because they've seen that you're able to adapt and change and grow. So I think people get really scared about reaching out to buyers and like that next step, but they also just don't even start the first step. They don't start sharing their work or putting it out there. They just like do one thing behind the scenes and then they're like, okay, am I there yet?
Yeah. The first thing that I really did was, again, I started that product line and I started putting lettering on greeting cards because it was really just a natural fit, lettering and messages on greeting cards. Plus I really like copywriting. And so that's something that just, it kind of fell into place. And once I started putting those on my shop and sharing them on Instagram, that's when greeting card companies started being like, oh, okay, I guess she does greeting cards. And so they started reaching out to me and saying, do you license your designs? And I was like, yeah. And then Googled what the fudge are they talking about? That's how licensing just kind of like fell onto my lap. I mean, I worked.
You put yourself in a position to attract that opportunity.
Right. Exactly. And so that's when I started like discovering that licensing was even a thing. And then it kind of just like grew out of that.
Yep. And this is where our stories get so similar is I was working full-time as an art director and I was doing a ton of outreach to try and get freelance clients. And I asked someone, hey, do you guys work with freelancers? And they were like, sure, here's a licensing contract. And I was like, wait a second. So they told me, and I was like, I'm going to take a chance. And that one job ended up paying, which is rare. Let me just like preface, this is rare. This has never happened since that one time. That paid more than my salary for the year.
What was your salary at the time? Can we like do numbers here?
Yeah, yeah. My salary as an art director was $40,000. I live in upstate New York. And I made more than that on this one job. Again, rare. Like, what's happening? But it was like one of their first years, and they didn't really know what to expect. And like, people overbought because they were excited about it. Now it's like a successful brand and they're doing great. But so I was like, okay, I'm going into this income stream.
Did you quit your job like right after that?
Well, you know what? It took like 2 years to know that, but I did. I was like, this is the thing that's going to help me pivot. And, you know, then the licensing life cycle is so long, but I was like, this is my chance. So I'm going to dive into this. And then I saw the potential, and now I can use those pieces somewhere else. But I didn't really have an idea. And again, like, that is so rare. I would say that the licensing industry is like not the most high paying industry either. And yeah, there was something else that Katie mentioned that I thought was just like a really, oh, just like outreach. Neither of us are like sitting here saying like things have just fallen in our lap. Like, we actively seek and intentionally share things to hopefully get us in front of the people we want to get in front of. But I would say, if you're not putting yourself in those situations, like, start doing that now. Start putting the work that you want to get out there, and then like literally put it in front of someone who would be a good fit for you. Like, put it in front of a good client and follow those people and get in those like circles of people who you want to work with. Like, email them and see if they're hiring or if they work with freelancers or whatever the case may be, because like, what do you have to lose?
What's your process of finding someone? You know, are you going into like detective mode? Are you in like LinkedIn premium and accounts like that? Or like, what are your top three tips for getting creepy and finding someone to get in front of?
Top three tips for getting creepy.
Yeah. How killer would that be for like a blog post header or something like that?
It's super good. Yeah. One of mine is definitely Instagram stalking other artists or licensing agencies. And whenever they post that they've done a collab with somebody that feels like it could be a good fit for me, I already know that, you know, that buyer, whoever, is then open to collaborations. And so I'll just like save that in my little outreach folder on Instagram and then investigate later.
I think what she's saying is that is proof that there is opportunity. That is not, oh, someone else got the job I wanted. That is, oh, I didn't know that was possible. I want to try that. Like, it's not your competition. If they work with artists, like, they can work with more than one artist.
And not like a representative company, but like a company that's like actively looking to hire people to bring on. Representatives of like, hey, I'm an art rep and I am represented by so-and-so, like that, or like,
well, it could be a variety of things. Like, there's agencies that represent artists, and they'll post work like, oh, our artist Alana just did this collaboration with this greeting card company and here's a picture, and I'll be like, save. Or it could just be, I follow Etta V and she posts this really cool water bottle, and I'm like, oh crap, I've never even, it could even just be a product idea. It doesn't even have to be the client, but I'm like, oh, I've never thought about water bottles. That's a really cool idea. And so I'll save.
Yeah, that's it. And then I keep like a spreadsheet, and I go through the spreadsheet maybe like once a month, and I'm like, what do I have work that would be a good fit to send it to this specific brand, or to this, what time should I spend looking for a brand that would be like a comparable option that would be a good fit? So it's like a little strategic, but it's not rocket science.
Another thing we do is go shopping. We just go to stores and look around. And when you find a product that's really cool that you could see your work on, you just turn it over and you're like, oh, who made this? You know, whatever information you can glean, you just take a photo with your phone and stick it in your spreadsheet. And then later you can do some internet sleuthing on whether it's on a LinkedIn or, you know, Art Buyer or art director is usually the title that you're looking for the person to get in contact with. So however you do that, I've definitely done LinkedIn. I've, you know, a lot of times the list on their website, depending on the size of the company, the list on the website, like who the buyer is, and you can reach out. And another thing too is, like, I think a lot of people initially think, oh, I have to reach out to the biggest companies, like, but actually the best opportunities for smaller artists who are just getting into licensing might be the smaller companies that you can grow with and the people that are easier to get in contact with. So I definitely want people to not forget that step as well and to consider that.
Right. Like, don't think you have to call the CEO of Target.
Yeah.
But Target actually sells other brands. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to, like, step back a minute and, like, strategically think about and, like, open your, I guess it's sort of just changing the way you think about things, because when I first started, was like, okay, so I call Target and I tell Target I want to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, oh, that's actually not how it works. So you really have to kind of retrain your brain from, like,
Target. They're like, you Hello? Reached the pharmacy.
Can I speak to licensing, you? Please?
Which aisle do you want to be directed to?
So how do you, briefly touched on this, I get hit up all the time about, like, podcast inquiry stuff in very gross ways. And it just really turns me off. So how do you do non-gross cold outreach? Or do you have a couple tips for, like, when you reach out to people?
That's another great headline, Scotty. You're just, like, churning them out.
I like copywriting. That's my jam. Yeah. But, like, what are, like, a couple tips? Because some people just, hey, I want a license. How do I do this? Let's get in touch. Here's my work.
That's gross. That is.
Yeah.
Gross. I think the biggest thing is to, like, genuinely do the research up front of who you want to work with. And if it's a company you want to work with, like, you should have done a deep dive and figure out, hey, I found you on Instagram. I love your work. I see that you make baby, blah, 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 blah. And I actually am a designer in that industry. I would love an opportunity to share my work with you and maybe hear more about what you do. I loved your recent XYZ, blah, 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 blah. Like, that is a lovely email to get.
Hella personal.
Yeah.
Personal.
It's not like I'm sending 45 of these emails a day. Like, I send one, you know, one once in a while.
Make it not feel like a template.
Yeah. It's, if you, like, compare it to influencer marketing, like, hopefully a good influencer is looking at products and, like, really understanding the product and getting a bigger chunk of change because they're invested in it and, like, genuinely like it. And that's why it works. If you see someone who, like, isn't in the health and wellness industry, and then they all of a sudden post about those, like, vinegar vitamins, gross. You're like, why would I swipe up? I don't trust you. Like, you don't have any clout in this industry. And so it's really, like, doing the research and getting invested in a partnership that would be beneficial for both people. And then, like, building a relationship.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Apple cider vinegar gummies sound disgusting.
Yeah. No, thank you.
That sounds horrible. Or like mushroom capsules for Ugh. Your brain.
Right.
I don't know. So if someone wanted to get in licensing, how could you just, like, oversimplify? Because I know you have a wealth of resources on your page, which we'll talk about here in two in a little bit. But if, like, someone wanted to get into licensing now, I feel like they found their style, they've mocked up or, like, did their own little product line. Now they know a little bit about the outreach portion. What would be the next steps in terms of, like, professionally doing this and making passive income off of it with their work?
I mean, we have a free training all about it.
You give some high level on it, and then let's direct them over to the free training. I'll make sure I'll link it up.
I think the biggest thing is that licensing works really different. So I think the first thing is understanding the industry. And again, your style is going to evolve over time. But I think building up that list of people who you want to work with, understanding the industry, and then really you need to build a portfolio that you're proud of. And it doesn't have to be 100 pieces, but, like, let's say you have 10 pieces and you can start reaching out to people. I don't think there's, like, a, you know, okay, you've made it into the industry, like, the doors are opening. I think that's it. You've gotten started. And we really like it as, like, a supplement to other income streams so that you build a sustainable, well-rounded business and you're not just relying on one. I mean, the past year has taught us that, like, nothing is guaranteed and things always change. And so especially with licensing, I mean, we saw a decrease in sales because stores were closed. So products sales are down. So I think that's it, is like, start reaching out to people and start making work on a consistent basis. And that could be from a passion project. That could just be once a month you sit down and make something. That could be once a week, whatever it is. I think just being strategic about it is sort of the first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely making a schedule for yourself is going to be really helpful to hold yourself accountable, so it doesn't just fall on the back burner. And then, you know, another thing that you can think about later on is there are agents for art licensing. And if outreach is, and like the business side of things is something that really overwhelms you or freaks you out, or if you have like too many inquiries coming in your inbox, you can't even handle it, then that's something you can consider. And Alana and I have both had agents. Alana just signed with another agent. So we've both been with and without agents, and we definitely talk a lot in our other resources about the pros and cons of both. And I definitely want to be clear here that when people hear agent, sometimes they get super excited and they think, you know, that's the end all be all, like that's the goal for all artists. And I just want to say that's not the case. And, you know, it might not be right for you. And I honestly feel really happy not having an agent right now. And I also feel more financially happy that I don't have an agent right now, because I have the other 50% of my income that I didn't have when I did have an agent. So,
and I just want to say, like, if you have a lot of parents, if you're a parent listening, for me, all of Katie's reasons for not having an agent right now are so valid, and it does not define success in any way, shape, or form. But for me, I have two kids at home, and I really value that time. I know they're not going to be little forever. And so having an agent right now, I literally just signed with them in the last month, is really great because it frees up some of my headspace and my time. And I'm willing to take that sacrifice in income. But there were times, I mean, in my life where I'd much rather do the work, because connecting with those clients is really wonderful. And you get to form deeper relationships and maybe open even more doors. Yeah, both sides are amazing, and it's just, it does not define success at all. And I think that's been one of the biggest things with figuring out this industry, is redefining what success looks like to us, because when we graduated from school, we were told you have to go work at an agency, and you have to go to a big city and things like that. And when we discovered that you could like stack income streams and double dip and license your work, we were just like, oh, so I can actually work less maybe, and have more time for my mental health and for other things that are important to me, and still make a career that I really love.
So what are those passive income streams? Education, clearly, like courses, I'm assuming books, freelance, and licensing. Am I missing anything? What else you got?
Product income from our own product lines.
Yeah, and that could be mm-hmm. digital downloads, that could be an Etsy shop with greeting cards, anything like that. Yeah, I think that's it.
I think so. But yeah, I mean, both of us are really intense about layering things so that we're never like totally screwed if one, you know, income stream kind of falls off. And this pandemic was a great
test.
Case study of why you need multiple income streams, because we definitely saw things, some industries grow and some shrink. So having those options of and like multiple places that our revenue was coming from, we were in a lucky, you know, position to not have to freak out as much as we might have otherwise.
I mean, we started a business during a pandemic. But I think the other thing is we're not spreading ourselves so thin and doing all of these all at once. So for example, I'm not writing a book right now, but I have royalty checks coming in from my book that's already out in the world. And then licensing, you know, maybe when the stores were closed, we're not actively pursuing, you know, partnerships, but we're working on our online course. So it's not like we're saying juggle 20 eggs all at the same time. We're saying like pick areas to focus. And then eventually I've phased out some of my income streams because I'm like, they take too much of my brain space, or I'm not enjoying them right now. But I know I could eventually come back to them if I really wanted.
Yeah, like I was doing wholesale with my personal like product line and it drained me so much. Like wholesale is such a thing you have to like really focus on, and the and especially for greeting cards, the margins that you make are so small.
Here's 4 pennies.
Yeah. I mean, if you're selling a greeting card that sells in retail for $5, you have to sell it wholesale for $2.50, which means you have to be able to make the card for like 75 cents to even get like a couple of pennies out of it. And think how many greeting cards you have to sell to make
$20.
To make $20, and compare that to like a freelance job or like a licensing job like Alana got, where she made over $40,000 for one job. It's like, where do I want to put my time? And that's something that you have to learn by doing and by trying. And also the numbers are really helpful, which is where you have to put on a little bit of your business hat and think through those things and say, is this model sustainable for somebody like me who's making greeting cards out of my house and packing them by hand? It's like, probably not, but it's a good experience and it's a, you know, a good learning opportunity for sure.
And I think we'd both say, and I think this is coined by Jessica Hish, is some for show, some for dough. And there have been jobs that Katie and I have taken, even, you know, more recently, some that maybe we don't want to put in our portfolio, or some that we really want to put in our portfolio, but they pay really, like really poorly. And we might negotiate for a little more, but we are really excited about the project, so we do it anyway. And I just feel like no ego amigo, like, you know, you do the projects that you're excited about, and sometimes they're going to be a great asset to your bank account, and sometimes they're a great asset to your portfolio.
I think overall, the main lesson baked within this episodic adventure is that people need to break away from a starving artist mentality, stop living in fear, and put on the business hat, flip the marketing switch. I think that's the difference between a starving artist and people who feel like there's no shot for them, is because they're scared to learn. They just have the create hat on all the time. And like, maybe if I get an art rep, I'll be saved. You know, and it's like, take control, you know, give yourself a shot, bet on yourself.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, I hate business stuff. Like, I'm scared of business stuff. I really don't like it. It's not my personality.
That was me.
But I'm sure you realize that there's a really creative aspect to business. And once you kind of are able to get past that fear of the unknown, you can really see, like, there's something for everybody in business. Like, I love the strategy aspect, and I love like learning about other founders and CEOs and all the creative like pivots that they had to do. And, you know, all that stuff can be really, really interesting. It's just, you have to kind of be willing to step past the fear and the stigmas that you might have in what you think business is, and find the part that really excites you and meshes with your personality.
Yeah. I don't think you can, I feel like this sounds so harsh and I'm like re-saying it over in my head.
Get harsh. People need it here. Keep shit real.
I don't think you can be a successful, sustainable artist if you don't excel at wearing the business hat. And that doesn't mean you can't ask for help and hire people to help you. It means that you find what works and you make it happen. So whether that's hiring a coach or hiring a team member or whatever, like, you need to excel at being a business owner. Like, you cannot sell your work if you don't spend any time selling. Like, you don't just post something online and automatically become a successful business owner. Like, it just, I mean, maybe that's happened for someone, but it has not happened for us, you know? And so we really had to like find ways to fall in love with the business side of things. And I know that doesn't come naturally, but it is critical.
If you want to run a creative business, you got to learn business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times people are doing like marketing and they don't realize it, or they're, you know, being really strategic about what they're creating and how they're getting it out into the world. And they're getting people to share it because of their marketing skills, but they don't make that connection that that's what they're doing. So once, if they take a step back and realize that that is part of business, then maybe they'll say, oh, wait, I do like this.
We're all in the business of selling. Like, I fucking love selling now. I used to think it was gross, but now I'm like, actually, you can do things in a non-gross way. It's more than just like, here's selling my work in terms of exchange for money. It's like selling ideas, selling strategy, selling planning, selling yourself.
Selling solutions to problems.
Your personality, selling solutions, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think a big mindset shift that you have to do is like, you have to actually believe in yourself and like put things out there that you believe are truly helping other people. And then it becomes a lot less gross because you're not trying to sell something to someone that's bad for them. You're trying to help them. And that's a really tough mindset shift that both Alana and I have had to do when we're like talking about our courses and stuff. It's like, we're conditioned to think, oh, I don't want to, you know, put an offering out there and ask somebody to pay for something. But at the same time, if you're in their shoes, you're like, you're a person desperate for a solution. You need somebody to help you. We have this thing, we've put a lot of love and care into it, and we're trying to help. So I think that's a huge thing we have to consider when we're selling, remind ourselves that we're trying to do something good in the universe.
Yeah.
You're doing a disservice by not being hyped and into what you're creating and putting into this world. You're doing a disservice by not sharing that shit and shilling it and selling it in a non-gross way. Like, someone out there could have needed that.
And you're not for everyone. I mean, if you think about your personal preferences, like, do you like everything? Like, you're just not for everyone. And I think that...
No, I don't like vinegar gummies. Yeah,
gross. So that's not for you. And so I think people get hung up on that too. Like we're always looking for more, more, more. And it's like, actually, you can just not need more all the time.
Do less, but better. Real quick, as we land the plane here, where can people go to find this free training and then check out all your resources and everything like that?
Lumiere.co is where you can find all of this great stuff. The actual URL for our free training, which is 3 steps to turn your art into passive income with art licensing, that is at lumiere.co/ALBP-webinar-register.
We made it so easy for you.
That is so user friendly. How about you just check the show notes out and then click free training link?
I know we need a prettier link for that, but the training is everywhere around the website too.
Everywhere.
Where can people go to find you ladies online and connect with you?
We're both at Lumiere, at lumiere.co. And then you can find our personal accounts, Katie Made That and Alana Griffo. But we're always popping in and we genuinely love talking and helping people through the DMs, like having these conversations about upcoming projects or things people are struggling with. That is like why we're doing this. So say hi. We'd love to talk to you.
We also have a free Facebook community for artists who mean business.
I feel like
on the Facebook.
People can't see your facial expressions, and I feel like they make what you're saying.
They watch the video version. Yep.
But if they're listening only, they're gonna miss out.
So this is the call to action. Yeah. Go watch the video. also, what's the book that's on Amazon? The freelance business book.
Oh, my book is called Mind Your Business, but yes. We have like a whole list of awesome books. I know you have a list too. Of awesome books that we've read.
Yours is on my list.
I had a lot of fun making it, and
it's a great book, gal.
Thanks. I had a lot of fun.
And it's a freaking bestseller on the freaking New York Times.
Sure, we're gonna go with that one. Sure.
Which one is it?
Amazon. It's a bestseller.
Amazon Times.
Okay. A little different.
Amazon Times.
Alana, Katie, this was dope. I really, really appreciate you jumping on, dropping a ton of value. I'm sure we could probably go deeper in a round two if y'all ladies are down for that. In the meantime, thank you. I will be in touch, and it was great to get a chance to finally connect.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Have a good day. Peace. PC family, I hope you enjoyed this combo with Katie and Alana of Lumiere. do what you do best. If you found value in what they had to say today, go blow them up on Instagram right now and share with them your biggest takeaways. Also, make sure to share this with your friends, your family, or your following if you found it useful. That would mean a lot. And you can find the full episode information containing all the links and the references. Like, we got so many references, especially like book references, their free training, and so much more in the show notes within your current podcast listening app. Again, episode 221. And one final thing. Are you feeling creatively stuck and isolated with your creative pursuits? If so, you are the exact type of person I'm looking to work closely with in the Side Hustlers Coaching Program. This is a customized 12-week program for 10 students tapping into the next level of clarity, confidence, community, and accountability within their creative side hustle. I host this program every spring and fall, so learn more and join the A-list waitlist over at sidehustlerscoaching.com to lock in a spot in the upcoming session. Note, as of recording, being on the waitlist is going to set you up for the upcoming fall 2021 program, which takes place September 13th through December 5th. You don't want to miss that. And also, that link is in the show notes as well. If the show has helped you along your creative grind, could you do me a solid and leave me a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you're listening to that allows for reviews? It would mean the world to me. It only takes a couple minutes, and not only does it help the show climb the charts in the arts design category and reach more people who may need what we have to share, but it staples you in as a future listener of the week, and you become permanent podcast family. So today's listener of the week is titled Exactly What I Needed. This is from Samuel John from the U.S., and they say, yesterday was the last day at my job. I start a new career soon as a graphic designer working for an agency remotely. It's been a long, interesting road, but Scotty's You Got This has been in my head whenever I got discouraged. The community on Facebook is great too, at The Perspective-Collective. A wonderful place for encouragement and constructive feedback. This is a hard recommend. Samuel, congratulations, man. I'm really, really glad this podcast could play like a minuscule role in you making big moves with your creative pursuits. So thank you, brother, for taking a couple minutes to write that review. That means the world to me. And as I sign off, I got to give a huge shout out to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, executive assistant, Paige Garland, video specialist, Colton Bacher, social media coordinator, Hannah Schick, and Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.